Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
I'm Ron.
And I'm trying not to have a panic attack.
We'll talk about that at a later time.
Yeah.
We are the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we are speaking amongst ourselves as the holiday season is upon us. Traveling with a disability or a medical condition can be challenging, not impossible. The stress with longer lines, chances for inclement weather, larger crowds at the holidays, that only increases the stress.
Not to mention family. But, uh-oh, I'm sorry. Wait,
oh,
what?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I guess you could say the holidays are a stress multiplier.
Sure.
Yeah, I think we can break down travel with disabilities, since this is what our show is about,
right,
into three different segments. Traveling with family that have cognitive or developmental disabilities, travel with mobility impairments, and travel with needed medical equipment, such as medications, oxygen, insulin, special diets that people may have, and things like that.
Okay, that's good. That's a good plan of attack. And there's probably a lot more to it, but that'll cover for today's show. Maybe we'll go into more in the future. But that is a good plan of attack. Why don't I start us off with the first group that was traveling with a special needs family member, family or friends that have emotional or psychological disabilities or any developmental delays may need extra support during the trip or extra time put in ahead of time to prep for the trip. For instance, people with PTSD, Alzheimer's, autism, among others.
Sure. I found information regarding travel for individuals with autism on Autism Speaks, the lovely website, and we will be sure to put a link for that website on our website
Okay.
so that you guys can get more in-depth information there. But the basics were preparation is important. I think that's true with all travel.
True.
We'll do a recon of the new area, you know, and do a lot of research for new areas that you'll be going to it for a trip.
Right. And if people out there don't know what a recon is, that's
Reconnaissance. Why can't
you
say
that? Or a reconnoiter. Yeah, it's just something that, check it out ahead of time. Do like a practice run.
Right. Plan for what you can. And then it makes it easier to deal with the unexpected.
True.
That's a good point for people in general to do.
Yes.
So you know what you're doing. Yeah. But like you're saying, if you're traveling somebody with special needs, it becomes critically important because of everything involved.
Right.
Sure.
Preparation is important. The more knowledge that you have on each step of your trip will make it so much easier once you actually take the trip. And there are blogs out there that might shed some light so others that have similar situations, they share what they've learned ahead of time. So that you can read the blogs and say, oh, I never thought about that particular part. And then, like, we recently took a trip, and it was very heartwarming to see that a family that had an adult son with pretty severe autism was trying to fly.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember that?
No.
And they did a... Weren't you with me?
No, I don't think I was with you.
Oh. They were doing...
I'm always with you, Mom.
They were doing a... they were actually doing a... A
practice.
Walk around.
Yeah.
I mean, no, it wasn't a practice because he was supposed to be on that flight.
Okay.
But the pilots let him come into the cockpit.
Okay.
The stewardess let him go up and down the aisle several times. And you could see by his hand wringing that this was not going to be a fun experience for him. But they tried everything that they could do to make it comfortable for him. And at the end, he just could not do it. And he got off the plane with another family member and they said, we're driving, we'll meet you wherever.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that they have a supportive family. And for example, you can visit the airport in the off season. So when it's not a holiday season and people are
really crazy.
Yeah, packed in like sardines. And just to get a sample for a feel for the environment, for the noise, for the lights, for all those little stressors. Here in Chicago, you can actually explore the inside of a real airplane and train and such at the Museum of Science and Industry. That might be good also to practice if you have a service animal, to practice them loading and unloading and just to hear the sights and the sounds. They have the sounds of the airplane taking off and everything, just to kind of get yourself acclimated to that. There's also a train and other forms of locomotion there at the museum. So if there's something comparable by you, I would definitely take advantage of that.
Gene, did you just say locomotion? Are you talking about an old steam engine? I hate to break it to you, but they don't use those anymore.
Yeah, you never know. It could come back into fashion. But no, there is actually a commuter train, I think, there as well, When you first walk in, I think it's a Burlington Northern train car. So if you're in Chicago, we are big fans of the Museum of Science and Industry, and you can go see their airplane and train exhibit in addition to all their other sites.
And that's a good place to get your person used to crowds.
And it has indoor parking. That's so true. Even in when the weather outside is very frightful. Yes, I must say that. You can see something rather delightful and stay warm. Yes. Uh-huh.
That's my kind of place. That's actually a great resource. Well, at least if you're in Chicago. Sorry about that, folks. But yeah, if you get an opportunity, check things like that out. I wonder if airports have programs in place for easing fears for people that have anxiety.
Well, you know, my other daughter, Kim, she treats her anxiety at the bar before flying. I wonder if that's why they have bars at the airports. She's very claustrophobic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the fear of flying, but she's very claustrophobic. So you get in an airplane and she feels like she's being suffocated.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And preparation, making sure that when you make your reservations that they know that you may need extra assistance. You can go online to the TSA website and sign up for their pre-check. And that might expedite things and make things a little bit simpler. Make sure all family members get that same check done, because otherwise you're all going through the standard line. It'll make the security screening a little bit easier. You can also print a little card on the TSA website. They have a little PDF you can print out and hand it to the person that's going to be conducting your screening
yes,
at the airport,
screening, yeah.
So that they know that you have special needs. I know I have one for my head, neck, shoulder, knees and toes. But no, so we'll put a link for that as well on our website so you can find it and print one off for yourself.
Well, that's some pretty cool news. Thanks. That's got to help remove some of that stress right off the bat. But if a traveler has never flown before, a lot of times you'll get first-time travelers. I wonder if you can ease their pressure of claustrophobia.
Absolutely. There are blogs. You could, again, with the blogs, it's a great place to learn about tips and tricks on traveling with various disabilities. But since we're here, let's go over some of the known sticking points. First, air travel. The first one is, I think, the crowd size, especially when you're in the lines for TSA.
Lita might have a little issue with crowds.
I don't like crowds at all, period. Zip, nada.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah. You could visit the lobby area, the outside, before you get to the gates of any airport at any time without a ticket to see how your family member will handle the stress of the crush of bodies, because a lot of times there's crowds there.
And it might behoove you to purchase a lounge pass, because that'll be a slightly quieter area, so you can kind of get away from
the crowds. Do you have to be in first class to do that?
No, you can purchase a lounge ticket.
Okay.
So that, you know, you don't have to pay for a first class ticket, a lounge pass.
Okay.
And you can do that in advance online.
And if you have military members in your group, you go to the USO office and they've got a lounge themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You absolutely should have an ID alert bracelet on a younger child's wrist, giving the disability and contact phone number for the parent or guardian in case you get separated.
In addition, caregivers should also have a medical alert bracelet saying, "I'm a caregiver," so that if something should happen to the caregiver, people will know.
That's true. I could imagine that happening. Noise-canceling headphones reduce the stress of excessive noise distraction. A lot of times, people with autism can't handle the excess noise.
I can't handle the excess noise.
True. Yeah. No matter what age you are, from a child to an older adult, you can request a wheelchair that might dramatically decrease the problems that you have moving through the airport. The wheelchair allows them to focus, let's say if it's a child, on a handheld game or other electronic device rather than concentrating on the crowd around them. It makes it easier so that you know you're not going to lose sight of them. That's really a big benefit. And it might make it easier to get through the TSA.
And you could also, if you have a stroller, you could use a stroller, but then you will have to check it at the gate.
Right.
Yes.
The next sticking point besides the crowds outside is, of course, the TSA. Yeah. If there are any metal implants or devices that might set off an alarm, make sure that you have documentation from your doctor to help ease that screening. If your family member doesn't like to be touched or approached by strangers, perhaps you can do a sample screening at the doctor's office ahead of time have the doctor pretend to have a wand so that they know what to expect, because you can't really get away from a safety screening. You just have to get the person aware of it. And sometimes that's all it takes to get the anxiety calmed down. Be advised that TSA...
Okay, I just want to point out, do you not hear that?
I heard the noise.
Okay, all right.
We're hurrying up. Our house might be catching fire. Be advised, TSA personnel cannot request that you are separated from your dog...
Service animal.
Nor are you required to remove your dog's harness, service animal's harness, leash, or collar.
You never know, those service turkeys.
Right. if you experience any problems at the security checkpoint, you should ask for a supervisor, be contacted for assistance. Actually, traveling with a service animal could be a whole podcast by itself, so we might do that, but we'll add links to our website for more information regarding travel with service animals at this time.
That sounds good. And my biggest problem with traveling is mobility. It used to be much worse because I could hardly move and I had to use a wheelchair because I also tend to fall over and black out. But now that I can walk with support, I love my hiking stick or trekking poles, and I use them. I find that they're more convenient and comfortable than my walker, but I still request a wheelchair anytime I'm going to be moving through an airport because I don't want to black out in an airport and delay my trip.
And I get a wheelchair because too much walking really puts pressure on my lower back, and then it screws up the whole trip because I'm in pain the rest of the time.
Right. And I have a travel wheelchair from Karma. It's my all-time favorite go-to wheelchair because it folds up completely. It's very lightweight and it fits into a bag. So
like a suitcase, like a soft bag suitcase.
Soft-sided suitcase. So I can actually take that through the airport with me, and it gives me head and neck support. And then it can be checked at the gate or it can be checked as luggage. I have had problems, and I'm sure anyone who's checked a wheelchair, a stroller, or something similar has had issues with damage and breakage. And I think it's very important that that suitcase completely covers all the pieces, and if it can, pad and support them so that when the baggage is being loaded and unloaded, it doesn't get damaged. And if you have a battery for your power wheelchair, the FAA requires that you transport that properly. Most batteries are going to be compliant, but just make sure in advance that you check that out. And we'll actually post another link for that on our website and review the restrictions and helpful tips and hints for traveling with accessories like wheelchairs.
Okay. I think our resource page is going to have a lot of links. Yep. I think we should also touch on vision impaired travelers. I know we didn't talk about it, but I know whenever I travel with my mom, for instance, Genevieve, she did a podcast with us earlier in the season on glaucoma. Right. I have to put a hand on her elbow because the glaucoma makes it hard for her to see when moving between bright light to dim light areas and vice versa. Also, she has no peripheral vision, so it's impossible for her to see people or carts and luggage coming at her from the sides. We have to keep her safe. So if a person has been completely visually impaired for a number of years, they may know how to get around with a service animal and a cane, but traveling with those who have recently lost vision or some of their vision, this will be new, possibly scary, and family or friends just need to realize that it's difficult to lose that mobility, and it may be challenging to slow them down to a safe speed and keep them from dangers that they don't see coming. Simple communication before leaving on your trip should help.
Yeah, and make sure you take the time and are patient with everybody because it can be stressful for everyone.
That's why we're doing this, to try to relieve that stress.
And I can add that traveling with a migraine, I tend to close my eyes when there's bright light because that can be really excruciating or bring a migraine on. And being in a wheelchair takes away all the worry of walking into something with my eyes closed because that's not recommended. And since I have migraines several times a week, it's another reason that I prefer to request a wheelchair. And then I also have my go-to migraine kit, eye mask, ice bag. Some people bring little portable oxygen containers. I make sure I have my preventative medication and my emergency medication and everything in my carry-on and things of that nature.
Well, I think that leads into Ron.
Oh.
It does. I mean, we've talked about just now about vision impairment. We've talked about cognitive and physical disabilities. Now let's jump into traveling with medical equipment. There are many types of equipment we can discuss, but let's take typical ones that people most travel with.
Okay.
Insulin, for example, for diabetes.
Sure.
Oxygen tanks, oxygen generators, CPAP machines, liquid medications, breast pumps, food pumps for feeding tubes, and yes, adult diapers.
Adult diapers?
Yeah.
I just said yes.
Yeah. Okay.
If you have a need for adult diapers, it is suggested to remove them before going through the TSA screening, then replacing them after exiting the area. I know it sounds like a pain, but you can take time. So it simply is the right time for a change and the sanitary cleanup before getting to the TSA area.
Oh, so you're scheduling it, kind of.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. There's horror stories there about pat-downs, embarrassing pat-downs gone wrong because of people wearing those bulky adult diapers.
And they don't worry about kids' diapers? That sounds like age discrimination.
Hey, I'm just the podcaster here.
Okay. And hey, I think this, the...
Just on bowel movements.
Lovely.
Okay.
Okay, well...
Moving on.
Yeah, moving on. I know I actually recently purchased insulin coolers online for friends and relatives because I find that it's nice to have a very compact way to keep your insulin chilled, and it has to be kept at a cold temperature. So those are great as a go-to. And then also having all of your equipment in a secure package, it helps keep it at the right temperature for hours.
Gotcha. Talking about like heart equipment, like oxygen tanks or generators.
Mm-hmm.
They need a medical equipment bag waiver, which you can get from your doctor's office before you travel. And also contact the airlines and let them know you're making reservations for bringing.
Right.
Absolutely. You want them to know ahead of time. Not only will it make it quicker and easier to get through the screenings, they will probably waive any of the baggage fees since this is medically required equipment. And the ADA, that's the Americans with Disabilities Act, protects people with special needs.
You know, I wonder if there is a limit, I mean, thinking back to my Transcom days, of how many oxygen tanks, how many oxygen generators you can bring on the plane at once. So maybe they have to cut off the number of people that are traveling. And, you know, there's more and more people traveling, more and more older people for sure. So like, what if they hit five people that are all bringing oxygen tanks and that's the maximum for that plane? The next person that makes a reservation, they might get bumped just because the plane can't handle it.
Well, we'll have to find a flight attendant that wants to be interviewed and ask them all of these questions.
Well, in a former life, I actually worked in freight forwarding.
Okay.
Really funny.
Right. That's kind of what that's what I was coming from.
You guys have very similar backgrounds.
And yeah, there is some concern on the quantity.
Right.
So the best bet, and we just mentioned it earlier, is contact the airline.
Ahead of time.
Absolutely. We talked about the need for planning, pre-planning, doing all of this. The best thing is to contact them ahead of time and let them know what you're traveling with, and they will be able to help you to make your travel a little bit easier.
Right. And you can still have a carry-on bag in addition to your medical equipment. And there are labels and IDs and stuff you can get for your medical equipment just to expedite things. And, you know, so make sure you bring what you need. And crutches and braces and casts, you might also want just a note from the doctor. You can.
And you do, because, you know, there have been people smuggling stuff in casts.
Oh, but
so I'm just saying.
Okay.
So get a waiver from your doctor.
No, I know, but you'll still have to be.
Padded down.
Padded down and swabbed with a mass spectrometer swab and everything. Okay. And when you go through either the any of the scanning or X-ray TSA checkpoint, you can. And this is all in the U.S. And hi to our friends out there in Nigeria, Taos, Laos, London, Ireland, Australia. You'll have to let us know how things are there. But they will actually they have a cane at TSA, so you can ask for that to help support you as you walk through. Or if you need to, you can go through with your wheelchair and they'll make accommodations there. And you can carry on a cane on board as well. I don't know just to make sure it's not a sword cane. Have we missed anything, or should we wrap it up before the
fire department comes?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
My last suggestion after traveling with Gina, the transplant patient that we did recently, bring wipes, because you're going to be in contact with a boatload. It's not really a boat, it's an airplane, but a boatload of germs when you're traveling. I guess if you're on a cruise, you boatload of.
And at the hotel.
Yeah.
Don't touch that remote until you've.
Or the phone.
Or
the lights.
Okay. Or the. Yeah, the hairdryer of all places. But sorry.
So always have a packet or two of disinfecting hand wipes to keep yourself free from disease as you travel. And if you are immunosuppressed, wear a mask.
And just real quick, if you have a food allergy it might behoove you to find out whether or not your airline serves that particular item. If you, for example, if you have a nut allergy, you don't want to be flying in a confined space where they're passing out nuts.
Do they still do that?
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
It is. So nuts and pretzels. So you got gluten and nuts. But yeah, so we didn't cover everything, but hopefully it's a good start. And we wish everybody a wonderful holiday.
And if our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
And make sure that you let us know if you have a topic that you'd like us to cover. And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast, because we're everywhere. We're always there. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on this podcast.
You know, one of these days I'm going to throw something else in that disclaimer form so that it trips her up. What do you think?
I read it word for word. Get faster. I read some advice on how to rap, and they said if you just consistently say the same thing over and over again and just try to get faster and faster and faster. That was Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
Okay. Well, until next week, have a good one.
Bye.